idea altogether. So they add sophistication to the concept, reinterpreting the anthropomorphic scriptural stories in a wide variety of non-literal ways that allow them to preserve belief. Even then, they often slip back into the old ways. Belief in answered prayer is one such anthropomorphic slip, since it would be contradictory for an all-wise and all-knowing God to change his mind because some of his unwise and ignorant creations begged him to do so. Why should God be taking advice from us? He knows everything. Things like this show that it is the storybook God that provides the motivational engine behind the abstract God of theology, even though the two are totally different. So let's turn to theology. God is said to be omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, as in everywhere at once, all-good, he is unlimited, and a supreme being. But the problem with defining God in the abstract is that many of these abstractions make no sense or are unknowable. Thus, if God is a supreme being, he isn't merely superior to us, he is totally superior. The best there is now, ever was, and ever will be. Now, how could anyone know that? Confronting such a being, how would you know that this was the best that ever was and ever will be? You'd have to yourself know everything. So we can never know whether we have reached a supreme being. To the extent the abstractions might make some sense, they tend to contradict other abstractions that are also believed. Take the idea of God's omniscience. If God is all-knowing, he knows the future absolutely. He knows everything that will happen. And this means everything will happen as he knows it, which means he can't change anything. But if he can't change anything, he isn't all-powerful. Yet if he can change the future, then he isn't all-knowing. Both can't be true. Is that the end? Or do I have a second? In the face of the abstract God, they never briefed me on this, you know? They taught me all this stuff in Sunday school, but these guys didn't tell me about the bell. All right. In the face of the abstract God of the theologians, then, the best response is agnosticism, where one declares that theology makes no sense, that we don't know what people are talking about when they talk about God. And therefore, there's nothing to say pro or con. God is just an incoherent concept, and it is certainly irrational to place belief in an incoherency.
The point is correct what the bells mean, and at one minute that means that speech is now open to questions from the floor, which speakers are free to decline or accept. At 6 minutes, there's another bell, which means that they once again return to protected time. And at 7 minutes, there's a double bang to indicate them start finishing up. So that's the bell system. And now, moving on to start the case for the opposition, Dr. Angus Manoush.
Well, I do think there is indeed good reason to believe in a personal God, and that we do know what we are talking about when you speak about God. Let me contrast Christian theism with humanism in a couple of areas. First of all, ethics. Mr. Edwards and other humanists claim that humanists support human flourishing, compassion and mercy, all these nice things, all without God, just based on human needs. Now, I don't deny that humanists can be moral without believing in God. But the question is whether the existence of moral values depends on the existence of God, and whether Christian teaching provides better support for Christian values than does humanism. And when we look at this, what we'll see is that humanism relies on borrowed capital in the area of ethics. Historically, as Alvin Schmidt has shown in a wonderful book, How Christianity Changed the World, the ancient pagan world had a very low value of human life. The individual was regarded as a value only if he was part of the political fabric and able to contribute to its uses. And so there was widespread child abandonment, exposure, dying heaps, deliberate
Sample complete. Ready to continue?